A 13-year-old girl stands in a landscape made almost entirely of garbage, screaming at a common domestic sow. The skyline of the port city of Cartagena, Colombia, stands overcast in the background, shrouded in cloud that melts to the Pacific. The sow shakes its jowls. Instead of entering its pen made of tamarisk boughs, it turns to face the girl. She swats it on the nose with a metal bar. The sow squeals, a glottal shriek. A second, larger sow approaches, gnashing its yellow fangs with loud clicks as it snuffles over the surface of the trash. It raises its head to look at the girl, who urinates where she stands. She doubles over and screams. The pee washes stripes in the dark grime on her legs. A middle-aged American in a white shirt and khaki pants, carrying binoculars on a strap around his neck, rounds a pile of empty detergent bottles. He takes a heavy branch from the fence. He drives both sows into the pen while the girl lopes away. He calls after her,
"Momento, momento, quédate maja, ¿cómo te llamas?"
He walks toward her.
"Amalia,"
the girl says.
"Ven conmigo, te doy de comer,"
the man says, holding out his hand. She drops the metal bar and follows him as if she had nothing to her name in the world, except this one stiff, coarse, blood-stained smock. And in fact, she owns absolutely nothing but that one formerly white smock, and she never returns to the dump. 2 decades later, 2 hours into the year 2005, a cigarette fights intense humidity in utter darkness. Its dim firefly of tobacco flies upward and brightens with an intake of breath. It falls and comes close to dying. The invisible smoker lounges naked on a heap of animal skins. She is 12, brown-skinned, black-eyed, with long, dense, dark hair. Her hairline is very low, hardly more than an inch from her eyebrows, and her nose hooks like the numeral 6. Her legs are short, her waist thick, her breasts small and high. 5 tall, pale men silently walk a narrow trail broken through week-old snow. They wear mukluks and nothing else. Behind them, the steam of a burning Christmas tree rises from the chimney of a house. A 2-story farmhouse, red paint peeling off clapboard, hunkering below the cliffs of the Palisades just south of Nyack, New York. The night is moonlit, but overcast. The first man in line carries a kerosene torch in a bamboo holder. He is 71, the oldest person present, with white hair and a white beard. The torch trails a greasy plume of black smoke. He holds it so as to spare the others, and the wind carries the smoke away. The men's boots scrape on the snow, a regular noise like caterpillars eating leaves. The group approaches a dark mound, a sweat lodge on a wooden platform, a simple hut built of willow and covered with deer skins. The white-haired man plants his torch in the snow. It illuminates a blue one-piece ski suit and furry mukluks at waist level a few feet away, lying on the crust of ice on top of the snow. Frowning, he raises a flap. The smoker extinguishes her cigarette on the rim of a 3-legged iron cauldron and drops it inside, between 2 hot stones.
"Is that the koala?"
a younger man says, peering into the lodge. He looks very much like the old man, tall and trim and muscular, with the same full beard, his hair still black. The old man, father to him and the girl, yanks 4 deerskins off the willow frame, exposing a quarter of it, and says,
"I'm disappointed in you, Penny."
"Stop it," she says. "You're making me cold."
"You should be in bed."
"I couldn't sleep. You won't let me smoke in the house, and it's freezing out."
He turns to the group.
"I'm really sorry, everybody. Now I have to air out the lodge, and it's going to take time to get back up to temperature. Maybe an hour?"
He speaks to the girl again.
"Get your butt in the house," he says. "Now."